This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Hi there.
All right. I do love our little pre-show talks.
Mike, you put your hand on the Bible now.
All right.
Do you swear to be funny today?
I do.
Okay.
I don't have a Bible, Don. I have to. I can't say that I'm swearing on a Bible. And
put it
not
on
have
the.
A,
put your hand on Arnold Schwarzenegger's picture.
That's good.
I swear. Well, do you want me to repeat it after you, or do you want me to make it up?
Go ahead, make it up.
I state your name.
I solemnly swear.
To pledge my allegiance to the frat of the United States of America, and that I will do my utmost to be as funny as a human being can be on a Tuesday in Rockville. Amen.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank you.
That was nice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I make no such promise.
Good for you.
Regis Philbin will not stop giving.
This is an amazing new trend.
Unbelievable.
This is ahead of. I mean, I got such a list to talk about on the show today, besides personal stuff. Finally, resolution with Janet and the cousin.
Ah.
All about Elliot Ephraim Spitzer and why men are the way they
wow.
are.
Oh, wow.
Why Dr. Laura Schlesinger is seriously a genius.
Wow.
Oy vey, Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this sucks more than
God.
Suckdom. This is the capital of Suckdom.
But all of this is Trump before we even start the show today.
Ow.
By the fact that Regis Philbin once again becomes the number one source for tapes on this show.
And I hope, I said it at the beginning of the show, this is a trend. Okay. And I really do hope that this is a trend because of his age.
Now, here's part of the isolated clip.
But I pulled a boner.
Good start.
Now, that's kind of like Sonny Jurgensen, you know.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Right.
Now, but when Regis says it.
But I pulled a boner.
And that's not exactly edited the right way because there's a big pause afterwards, I believe. And then he says, well, I did. Well, let's listen to it now.
Yes, please.
As Regis continues to give, along with his anal leakage tapes.
Right.
His anal tape. Mm-hmm. His other anal tape.
Right.
His other anal tape. That's what
that.
You call anal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a lot of Regis talking about.
He's what you call anal, isn't he, man?
And then we got this one.
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Right.
Right, then we got this one.
I better bring my rubbers.
Yep. And
then we got that one. This is the grand one.
I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
Because that leads to this one.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
And now this one.
But I pulled a boner.
It's perfect. And I'm about to do something I rarely do on this show. I'm about to compliment her. Because she does one thing that Kathy Lee Gifford would never do.
Good one.
She is she's a dirty birdie.
May I agree?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, no. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No. She's a dirty birdie,
and
she knows the moments when something dirty is said, and she lets it happen.
She stays quiet.
She spotlights it, and Kathy Lee Gifford would never do that. She would roll right by it. Mm-hmm. Kelly Lee loves the dirty talk. She's a dirty birdie, and she lets Regis hang out there, so to speak. And it's wonderful to hear.
Here he is.
So it was pretty
oh,
interesting.
Great.
Yeah, I had never met.
You've never met Neil.
Oh, I pulled a boner.
No.
Of course, I met Neil, but I pulled a boner.
See now, the beauty of this is he says it once and it goes right by.
Yeah,
yeah, because they're kind of talking over each other at the moment.
He could have skated.
He doesn't care because he doesn't know. He really doesn't know, and that's the beauty of it.
I saw your friend Neil Patrick Harris. I pulled a boner.
Pulled a boner.
So it was pretty interesting.
Great.
Yeah, I had never met.
You've never met Neil.
Oh, I pulled a boner.
No.
Of course, I met Neil, but I pulled a boner. I did it again. I said so. Yeah, for the first.
See now that our tape should say I pulled a boner. I pulled it again.
She goes into total shut off mode because she knows the moment and she knows it's going to get a laugh. You know what?
It was pretty interesting.
Great.
Yeah,
you're right.
I never met.
You've never met Neil?
Oh, I pulled a boner.
No,
of course I met Neil, but I pulled a boner. I did it again. I said, so, yeah, for the first.
I made a mistake.
expression.
Made a mistake.
That's an expression?
Yeah. Why is it that all the women in the audience are laughing?
Because we're not used to hearing that word in that context. I feel like right now I need to get you a doctor. That's a terrible thing
to
say.
He still doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't.
Boner is slang for I made a mistake.
That's not all it's slang for.
You're trying to do a good show. You got Gilbert giving you things that die. You got her catching all every right. word. I said to Rachel Ray, this is the first time I met you.
Oh no!
She said, "What are you talking about? I did your shows about a dozen times." Well, who can remember in the kitchen?
And then what you have to say is, "This is the first time." What I meant to say is, "This is the first time I've met you here under these circumstances."
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Oh boy, a little embarrassing, you know.
Boner.
But she was good. Good guest.
I really don't think Kathy Lee on her best day.
No.
Would spotlight that slang.
Boner. But I pulled a boner.
And she handled it great. She still does that, and that's worth keeping her on the show.
Just for fun, is there any chance that he's playing dumb on purpose?
No. It would not be nearly as wonderful. He's 100 years old.
True enough.
Not a clue. Just like this.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
I mean, Sonny Jurgensen in it the same way.
Aren't they roughly the same age?
You know, we are old enough to remember when there was an album that came out called Foul Ups, Bleeps, and Boners.
Yes. Sure.
And they changed it in the Dick Clark era with Ed McMahon to Bloopers.
Uh-huh. Right.
That was around the time you'd say, do you want to ball a girl? Uh-huh. And if you were gay, a guy was a mo. And you go, wow. She gives me a boner. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And maybe that's why some guys want to say, did you want to bone that chick?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, that's the word.
Yeah.
And what's great is it's sitting there in that little, you know, you and I are the old queens that watch this show, and it's in that wonderful daytime TV slot of 9 a.m. Eastern time where you just don't expect this stuff. And it's like a little gem that comes out.
He's really starting to lose it. Well, Al Sharpton. What do you think that we'll start?
If it wasn't so close to arrogance, it would almost be humorous.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well said. Well,
I guess
the whole
you
show.
Said that. And Regis, what are you pulling over there?
But I pulled a boner.
Mm-hmm. What's on that?
I better bring my rubbers.
Why do you want to bring rubbers?
I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
And what happens, Regis, when that gets messy?
I'm responsible for anal leaking.
Wow.
Then what happens, Regis?
Put his face in the guy's crotch and snarl slightly.
Uh-huh. And then what happens, Regis?
He's what you call anal, isn't he?
Right, Regis.
But I pulled a boner.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Regis.
Yeah. What do you think, Jackson?
What do you think, Jackson?
I don't know. What do you think?
Dubby is singing.
Shut up!
There is one short memo for Mr. Paul Harvey.
Oh my God, where's the Simon Shut Up tape?
Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up.
How about a phone number, everybody?
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I forgot that George Bush singing tape was of such awful quality.
Yeah.
And when they showed it on the news, it's so unintelligible. They had to put the words on the screen so you could sing.
But isn't that where he pulls that crap? When he's at his white tie and tails function with all his super rich, his political bases, they're called.
Right.
And he's out there just going, yeehaw!
The only thing I can tell you is that when I speak, I'm very conscious about the audiences that are listening to my words.
Yes.
If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
That was funny.
You think so?
You're awful funny, aren't you?
What do you think, Letterman?
Vagina!
Right.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Here we come. Introduce us, please.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Thank you.
These kids are fags.
Thank you.
I can't believe it. Down. God damn it. They're fags.
Thank you.
Can you stop that?
What is he, a faggot?
Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hey, bye-bye. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome back to the show.
Right, welcome.
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 All right, it's the Don and Mike Show, and it's kind of a Euro mix.
Yeah.
With Andy Kim. Kind of like that thing. Maybe you've heard that in a car commercial.
Beautiful.
That's what blows my mind about some of these songs, some of the great songs from the 70s.
Right.
They're so crappy, allegedly, no radio station would ever play it.
And yet?
However, when the people that do car commercials get a bunch of people in a room together and say, what song do you really like?
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, I like that one.
Well, I have a theory on that.
They
send a message. They send a powerful buying message. It's a sales strategy. That's just a theory I have.
I think they're good songs that are simply thrown out the door by radio because, for whatever reason, they're just not cool enough, man. Not cool enough for the room.
I think the one of the great originals for that, well, they've been doing it for a million years, but one that I remember was always, Like a Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the one that was just pounded home, pounded home, pounded home.
Yeah, that one drove me crazy for a while. That would make you outright hate Bob Seger for a while, wouldn't
it? Yeah, you wouldn't. And there are people that never heard of Bob Seger but knew that song from the Ford commercial or the Chevy commercial.
Oh, the John Cougar thing that they played before football games this year.
Right.
That makes me want to drive my Chevy into a levee.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
It's frustrating.
The levee is dry.
There should be a statute of limitations. You should wait at least 10 years, I think.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what up, Don and Mike? I got a great joke for you fellas.
No, from yesterday.
No.
Bye!
No, please.
Unacceptable.
This is residual from yesterday?
Unbelievable.
Horrible. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, you're on the air. What's happening?
Wow, you just blew off that guy there with the last joke. I really could make Rob laugh today.
Oh, my God.
Bye!
This is from yesterday's
Look
show.
At this. Where were all you folks yesterday when we were dying for 10 minutes of valuable radio time yesterday?
They were on the phone when we were walking out the door.
Yes. And I mean, we were literally dying taking those phone calls. We're dying.
Terrible.
We're dying here.
It was horrible.
Listen, I got to tell you the final part of Janet and Cousin Brain.
Cousins!
Poor Janet. This cat, this chick, this kitten had the worst luck yesterday. She was going to go see the cousin. She was going to have lunch with the cousin. He was going to give her the $75, and we're going to be done with him forever. She got in one of the worst traffic jams yesterday in the history of Washington, D.C.
Thanks again, truckers.
There was Mike.
Sorry.
If you get it.
I listened to the traffic.
Or in this case, if you're driving it, you know, you got it in a truck because it wasn't it an oil truck? Or something that tipped over yesterday.
Yeah, all I know, with all the traffic we have with trucks around this area, I just don't know why, at rush hour, truckers choose to set their trucks on fire. It just seems to me it's unacceptable.
Pranksters.
Really. I believe the trucker was cut off by a Prius. That's what I will argue in court.
And the Prius got away scot-free, leaving the truck to burn, baby.
So anyway, the tanker turns over, and there is something like an 18-mile backup. I mentioned this yesterday. She was in the car to go over a bridge where she had no choice about exiting or getting off or going to the bathroom or anything.
No alternative.
For 3 hours. For absolutely 3 hours. So
I don't know if it coincided, but I literally had my fastest commute home in months.
Same here.
I've never made it home. And maybe it's because they're on the other side of town was that truck.
You know what? Last night looked like that scene in Independence Day.
It did.
When everybody's going the other way.
It was spooky, wasn't it? It really was. I mean, our way home was empty. Very strange.
So right as we got done with the show yesterday, now keep in mind Janet left the house at about 2 o'clock yesterday.
Right.
To go meet this guy.
For lunch.
Yeah. Roughly 90 minutes away. Mm-hmm. She calls me at 7 o'clock just as we're leaving, and she says, Ooh. Hi, and I'm expecting her to say, well, it was tedious, but it's done with. She said, well, I just got over the Wilson Bridge a half an hour ago, and now he wants to meet for dinner instead of lunch. Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't you just turn the car around and come home? She said, I've come this far.
Yeah.
I'm hungry, and what the heck?
Right.
So She goes to the place with the cousin, and as it turns out, the cousin has with him, remember he brought down one dog before.
Right.
He has three dogs with him.
All right.
Now, I don't know where he's staying, what type of housing he has, but whatever it is, when Janet arrives, he says to her, oh, hold on, I got to take the dogs out for a walk before we go to eat. So she says, fine.
Are the dogs like in his car?
The dogs, I guess he's like in one of these
residency
Marriott stay by the month places.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, she says, okay, and he takes the dogs for a walk. 40 minutes later, it's dark outside.
My God.
Even with the time change, it's dark.
She's waiting at his like residence in place?
Yes. She's watching Entertainment Tonight. And he comes back. He's like, wow, there's a lot of great areas to go hiking and to go taking the dogs out.
40 minutes.
And I don't know why she sat there and took it, but she said, okay, where do you want to go to eat? And he had some Thai place that he wanted to go to.
Most people would have been long gone.
No, yeah. So she went to dinner with the guy, and the guy said to her over and over again, you and a lot of the members of your family have read me totally wrong.
Uh-huh.
And this is so beautiful. I swear to God, I could not write this any better. That they get done with dinner, according to Jan, and he's already given her $75 to pay for his half of the dinner that he didn't have to pay for when he was here a couple of weeks ago, but I made it into a big deal.
Oh, he gave her cash?
Yeah. He gave her $75.
And he was going to pop for the dinner last night.
No, this is the beautiful part. So the very first thing she said, she finally met up with him, the dogs and everything. They get to the restaurant, and he says, here's $75. Let's get this out of the way.
Good.
And he goes through a whole lecture about how he's misunderstood by the family,
right,
and he's not the kook that we think that he is, and her dad misremembers about owing money, blah, blah. But he just wants things to be cool with her. And at this point, she's just dying to get away, so sure. She says, sure, everything's fine. She gets up to leave, and he says, excuse me, you know, I do work for the government, and I am on kind of a per diem here, so could you pay for half of the meal?
Your half of the meal.
Oh, my God.
At that point, I said,
not Cousin Brain. Change that to Cousin Stain.
I said, why? She just pick up the food and throw it at him.
Cousin Stain.
She said, no. She said she sat there and she counted out, you know, whatever it was, $6, and then he's no $9, you know, and then no, you had a drink. Okay, $12.
Right.
She gave the $12, and she shook hands, and I got to call it. 10:10. Right? Hello. I go, hey, where you how you doing? What's happening? She said, just go to bed. I said, why? She said, it's after 10 o'clock. Uh-huh. I'm not gonna be home till like 11:30, quarter till midnight.
Did she give him the big kiss at that point?
Oh yeah.
No more Cousin Stain?
I believe as she laid down, I think she laid down for the entire dinner, like $18 or whatever it
right.
was.
Right.
As she laid down the $18.
Thai restaurant, not too expensive.
As she laid down all of it in cash, she said.
Out of the 75.
That would be it.
Good. So long, Cousin Stain.
Goodbye. Uh-huh. And I felt so bad for this woman because when she called, she was trying to be brave. And I could picture because now I want to tell you, Janet has a heart of gold. I love her. I'm blessed to have such an angel in my life. It's very hard for her to get mad at anybody. I call her Mary Poppins. That's her favorite movie. It's like you can go to her and say anything is bad, and she will find something good.
So when the cash changed hands of $75, and then he asked for money for half of the meal, she didn't stand up and go, are you out of your mind?
No, but when she got in the car, I get the call where she says, just go to bed. Take the dog out and go to bed. I said, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. You go to bed. Okay. 5 minutes later, phone rings. I go, hi. She's, I go, what's going on? She's, that bastard! I said,
she gave it to you.
I said, what's going on? And she said, I'm sitting by the side of the road and I just can't drive. I'm so angry. I've had such a day. She said, it's 10:20. I got in the car 8 hours ago to have lunch with him.
Was the Thai food good?
Yeah, she said it was good.
Sweet. Well, he gave her a good restaurant.
But I felt so bad for her that she reminds me of like someone like in a movie because I said, are you okay to drive?
But what's the purpose of giving her $75 cash and then making her pony up for, you've defeated.
Exactly.
That's a lot of money, too.
Exactly.
Cousin Stain ain't right. Cousin Stain just ain't right.
And this is like something out of a movie.
It
really,
is. Cause
she's on the phone, and I really, at that point, think maybe she's so unstable. I said, if you're mad, if you're upset, you know, pull the car over to the side of the road. Christ, I'll come out there and find where you are. She's like, no, I'm just mad. I'm so mad. And then I gave her the best advice I ever could. I said, call your mom. My help, call your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Call your mom. Lay this on your mom. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea. Vent.
Excellent. Excellent.
Oh, that was
vent at 10:20 to your mother.
Yeah. So that was a long, long conversation. So
you know, the only thing I can
bye
equate
Stain.
That, the only thing I
bye
can
my cousin Stain brain.
I can equate that with I'll be out with some friends sometimes. And everybody say, hey, I'm buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right, hey, fantastic. And then the person leaves, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
it's on your tab.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, that's but to sit there. After giving $75, saying, I'm doing this to make it right. And then, oh, could you help me with the... Well, that's why he's Cousin Stain. Not Cousin Brain anymore to me. Mm-hmm. Cousin Stain.
He's on per diem.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. I want to pull it right out and put it on the table. There's your per diem, but she can't do that. She didn't have one.
May I offer a thank you, a public thank you?
Hey, get your way?
Not yet, but probably... I guess 10 minutes or so from now, the people from Buzz, what is the name of the thing?
Select Comfort.
The Select Comfort. The person from the store is actually coming out to my house to fix the bed.
Good.
And on the way right now. And
I give and I take.
And but here's mm-hmm. the thing. I got a phone call that I played for Don yesterday during the show that was a routine follow-up call that had nothing to do with the radio. They hadn't heard me on the radio.
After the amount of bitching that Mike did yesterday.
This person hadn't heard the radio show.
It was like, hi, Mike. My name is Happy McHappy, and I'm calling to make sure that you're happy with your purchase. And if there's anything at all, please call me because I'm happy and I want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm. So, being the happy guy that I am, I got in the car after the show last night and... made my happy phone call, which lasted about 15 happy minutes. And after my 15 happy minutes, the only way it was left with me is I'm going to make a phone call to my manager, and I will get back to you. And then I got a call today from the manager, mm-hmm. and the manager said that they would send the assistant manager, the person that works at the store, who apparently knows these things, and going out to the house with a new pump. And, you know, we always need a new pump at my house.
Who doesn't?
We really, really do. It's always very important. And
you're very lucky your girlfriend let you have a pump in the house.
That's right.
Well, the new pump is going out to my house as we speak, and I should be able to let you know by the end of the show whether it's been fixed or not.
Yay.
Of course, my side
is fine.
Still doing 100% fine.
It's so you Carlos. Had a great night of sleep last night?
I slept because mine, I wasn't quite sure with my bad back. I slept on another one. I want the whole bed to be right.
Just right, yeah.
Before I sleep on it. And, of course, Carla slept in the basement, you know, until we get everything right. But I was very pleased with this because, you know what? All I wanted, really, when you buy something like this, you just want the no fuss, no muss.
Oh, yeah.
You just want this. And you know what? It's
you
a little,
need this.
It's customer service. And you know what? It's like a house call with a doctor. Somebody's coming out that really there isn't a maintenance person and making decisions. Hopefully... I'll tell you before the end of the show.
Yeah.
Hopefully. You know, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I was pleased with that little hassle of life being removed from my plate today.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I was very, very happy with that.
That's why being on the radio is great.
It's a wonderful thing. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'll let you know how it resolves itself.
It'll be fine.
Is that my girlfriend on the phone?
Yeah, she wants to add something about the meal that she neglected to tell.
Oh. A plus. A bonus.
Let's go live to the castle. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. What did I leave out?
Well, actually, I don't know if I remember telling you because I was just such a fog, and I was still so upset. When dinner was ordered last night, he wanted to share our food.
Oh, yeah.
And uh-huh. he ordered an extra meal for lunch today.
Oh, to take with him.
And you said nothing.
He almost called her Carla.
I wasn't allowed. I took. I did. He didn't want to share that with me.
Right.
He didn't want to share what the extra food.
Right.
Lunch today.
Just, he didn't want to have it for
Janet,
lunch today.
Just the bill.
Janet, you said nothing to him at the conclusion of the meal.
You know, it was past the point of no return. I was in the car. It was something that was supposed to take a little over 2 hours. It took me 5 hours to get there.
I
and then when
that.
I had to wait. I just wanted to get in the car and come home.
I said all that.
It was like 11 hours from beginning to end.
Does he know it's done now? Are you satisfied that he knows it's done?
What's that?
Are you satisfied that Brain knows it's done?
I don't know that he knows that it is.
Yeah. Oh, no. He must know. He must know at this point.
It's like getting another call the next time he's
I cannot.
Seriously.
I bet he calls you again before the end of next week.
Seriously, I cannot imagine. Well, the next time you're just going to have to do something to let him know. I mean, you should have let some of that, what you let go with me last night, you should have let some of that erupt on him. You should have, like, projectile vomited that, not literally, but you should have let that go verbally on him.
I'll work on that.
I mean, I know it's
hard.
And I got the whole thing last night. She's like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm at a Thai restaurant, for God's sake. Why don't you stand up and yell at him, throw food on him?
There's people in there.
I know. That's what right. I mean.
Have you figured out how he's related to you?
It's got to be through inbreeding.
Thank you and good night.
They're like distant cousins. They're close to the West Virginia line.
A Franklin and Eleanor deal. You think it's
to
that?
Escape and, you know, I don't know.
Wow.
I'm actually going to contact my cousin that has done an extensive family tree.
Good.
Because I don't ever remember seeing his family on there. It just might be something they may have just attached.
Oh, no,
to
your dad house. Your dad sure didn't know who he was, though. Your dad knew who he was. Your dad said he still owes your dad money.
A wedding crasher years ago, and they think he's part of the family, and he just keeps showing up.
It takes a little more force. He better not call again, for God's sakes, or come by again.
Well, there was a business opportunity that he was trying to run by me, but I just said, you know what? I'm just in such a fog right now. Yeah. I just...
Hold on. I had not heard that part. He ran a business opportunity past you?
At the tail end.
Can we look forward to Don bringing in some Herbalife products, perhaps?
What the hell?
I don't know.
What the hell? What's the business opportunity?
He could have laid $1 million in front of me, I would have just said, I can't concentrate. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, I get this from people a little bit because I'm going to be retired. I really do get people who go, hey, would you like to invest in my coffee shop? I got a great idea. If you just
I think it's still a lot of line that you're talking about that on the air. Okay, just
Hank's
between you.
Look
and,
around cafe.
Okay, it's just a friend asking a friend for some help. That's all it was. Okay, you really don't need to bring that up on the radio.
I'm not opening a coffee shop on the same block as yours.
Okay,
okay.
Just said we had a little extra space in the corner we wanted to rent out. I thought I was doing you a favor. Thought I'd keep you busy.
You like the opportunity?
God's sake, Donnie's Java. Look, it was a good idea. I'm sorry that you poo pooed it. Really sorry about that.
All right, sweetheart. I'll see you later. I love you. Good luck.
I love you too. Bye.
All right. Bye, honey.
Bye.
She still is worn out today.
He makes a big deal about not wanting to be there every day. Okay.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Thought it would be fantastic, you know. We offer muffins and coffee, and Don balked.
I know.
You know, really, sometimes the ego is a little difficult to deal with. He balked at being there every day.
I'd be the last guy you'd want. Like, when Frida and I went to, to Alan Hale's celebrity restaurant. I loved it because he was a skipper from Gilligan's Island, but he was old and fat and drunk and used up, and that's why I loved looking at him.
And I modeled my business after that. It's exactly how you described it to me. I said, I can do that.
I couldn't be the guy. Like this couple we went out to dinner with over the weekend, John and Joanne. We went to a nice joint, not a fancy place. But it was in a strip mall, a nice little nook of a restaurant, one of those that you find it and go, wow, this is really a good place. It looks outside like, if you don't speak Vietnamese, maybe you wouldn't have a chance of even pulling into this place.
Right.
And it wasn't a Vietnamese restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant.
Right.
In the middle of, like, little Vietnam.
Those are the sneaky ones.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the meal was quite good. And the guy comes by, the guy whose joint it is, and he's like, how was everything?
Right.
And we said, of course, like everyone always does, fantastic, wonderful. And he walked away. And I commented to the people at the table. I said, I think Mike does something like that. I said, you couldn't pay me. If I had to walk around and say to people, hey, how did you, that's like walking up to everybody and going, individually, how did you like the show?
Oh, no.
Right.
Not doing that.
Same thing. I mean, if you have to go, hey, what'd you think of the meal? Well, it wasn't the best. Throw it in their face.
Yeah.
And that's no way to run a restaurant.
No. Well, I had a manager who doesn't work for me, worked for me a long time ago, and this had nothing to do with why he doesn't work there anymore, but the guy, I would be sitting in there and I'd order my food, and I would swear to God, if he did this once, he did it 50 times, I would be putting my silverware on the food. I would be cutting into the meat. I would be taking a putting food on the fork halfway to my mouth, and he would materialize. And this was a guy that was in the business for a long time and should have known better. I mean, this is a rule. This is one of the rules of hospitality. Mm-hmm. When you see somebody, the time to come over and ask how everything is not before you've gotten your food. And this guy did it every single time.
Annoying.
And I would be sitting. This happened. Carla, at one point, I thought was going to take the fork and stab the guy in the forehead because he would do this. And you sit there and you're getting into the, well, hello, good evening. And this has been, this guy's been a ghost. We've been in there for an hour. And as soon as the food arrives and you're hungry, it's like a Friday night and you want to dive in and you're sitting there and it's halfway to my mouth. What's new, guys? And standing there literally 4 inches away, you know, standing with his stomach, which was large, on the edge of the table going, so how's everything? And I'm like, good.
I got an idea for the name of your place.
What's that?
And it's not Show Bar or anything else. Mm. Mike O'Mara's House of Hospitality.
That's brilliant.
House of Hospitality.
I still can't talk you into Donnie's Java in a small unused corner.
Only
we were going to put it right near the pool table.
Only I could be the coffee Nazi.
the Nazi barista. Right. Now, barista's too fancy.
But I like
the coffee Nazi.
I want to be like the guy on Seinfeld.
Right.
Right.
You know, what?
You, if you're not going to be there all the time, you have to tell me who you'd put there. Who would you have there?
My stand-in, Rob.
Well, Rob is going to be busy because we're going to be here doing the show.
But I've got my movie career, and he's my stunt double.
Oh, I got my card.
Oh, your SAG card?
Your SAG card. Yeah, you pay your dues, you get your card.
When I'm mixing the beverages, can I say I'm you?
Sure. Look where I have it in my wallet now.
Right up front?
Of course you
Look where
can.
I have it. Let me see if I can right make above, you some change.
Right above your driver's license.
There it is. Is this the one like you got? The plastic
the
one?
The laminated one?
Is that the way they're supposed to look?
Do. Nice. That's it. That's a pretty one.
This card means I can be in a movie. I can be in a movie now.
That looks also like you present when you sit down for a table game.
Yes, it's a very similar kind of lamination there. Very, very exciting.
That is cool. Too bad your picture's not on it.
I wish I had my picture on
you
it.
You could tape your picture to it.
That's what all the big actors do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, look, George Clooney.
They tape their
pictures.
That's
what Robert De Niro does.
Scotch tape.
Here I am, available for work.
You know, all right. From ER.
Here's your next topic. Seriously, Elliot E. from Spitzer. Why are men so friggin' stupid? If you've got this job and you are going to be setting the standard for everybody else and you're going to get a little on the side, Jesus Christ, you go to a website. Yeah, you make these public transactions. That
the name you use, the alias you use, is a campaign donor.
I mean,
like one of his biggest donors.
And I sure hope, Elliot, that she was worth $5,000.
Wow.
I mean, for $5,000, I can't imagine.
You think we'll ever see a picture of her? Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, there'll be
eventually.
Do you think they'll come out with the pictures of the people that were on that web? Well, they did show it. I saw on one news clip. They had pictures of the.
They're nice looking. The emperorsclub.com.
She will so have a book deal.
That's that's what the place is. This guy, seriously, just gives all men a bad name. Today on today's show, they did a whole big thing. Why men cheat.
Right.
This guy, long before this broke, this guy's track record with Democrats and Republicans was horrible.
Not that
I mean,
good.
Apparently he would scream at people if you were in like a private meeting with him and he disagreed with you. He would have screaming sessions with people.
Tough
he
guy.
Was so caustic. He was so difficult to deal with. But this guy made his reputation as the great sanitizer of the New York judicial system.
Law and order.
This is a guy that went after. He went after prostitution.
As I mentioned yesterday, he went way out of his jurisdiction. But towards the end, he started getting into the radio, you know, like sticking his big nose into radio, going, what's going on in radio? Sticking his fingers into all kinds of places, not literally, of course, that they should not be.
And the more you're a guy like this, the more you, you know, fancy yourself as the great moral arbiter of society,
so,
the more you're going to be, you know, held up to ridicule when something like this goes down.
This is what hurts guys like us.
Everybody.
And I'm talking now to all you guys listening. Everybody, seriously. This hurts us. You know why? Because they don't come out and report that this tool got caught cheating. It's like it's done on the Today Show. Why do men cheat?
Yeah, he puts the heat on all men.
Now, let's be serious. Men who cheat, generally speaking, don't go to prostitutes.
Right.
Men that cheat with women who cheat.
That's usually the way it works.
So this is not
men who cheat normally don't have $5,000 to spend on a hooker.
Yeah, this is not a one-way street with it's just, and I'm watching the Today Show, I'm trying to get into the coverage of this thing, and it's like the big headline is why men cheat. And then I see that hag, Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Yeah, bring her out of, dust the mothballs off of her.
And I am about to throw a rock at my beloved television when all of a sudden, Dr. Laura starts making sense.
Wow.
You are going to love this.
Okay.
In essence, she says, the reason this happens, it's Spitzer's wife's fault. That if she had done everything he wanted in bed, he wouldn't have to go elsewhere for it.
That's what Dr. Laura said.
Here she is.
Men do need validation. I mean, when they come into the world, they're born of a woman, and getting the validation from mommy is the beginning of needing it from a woman. And when the wife does not focus in on the needs and the feelings sexually, personally, to make him feel like a man, to make him feel like a success, to make him feel like her hero, he's very susceptible to the charm of some other woman making him feel what he needs. And these days, women don't spend a lot of time thinking about how they can give their men what they need.
But you're saying the women should feel guilty like they somehow drove the man to cheat?
You know what? The cheating was his decision to repair what's damaged and to feed himself where he's starving. But yes, wow. I hold women accountable for tossing out perfectly good men by not treating them with the love and kindness and respect and attention they need.
How bottle it.
That?
Bottle that. Put that away. Put that up on the shelf. Wow, that's Dr. Laura, huh?
That bitch!
That's right, that's Dr.
Well,
Laura.
Well, that's quite a surprise.
But I pulled a boner.
I thought Dr. Laura was a card-carrying member of the Man-Hater Club.
I got news for you, Dr. Laura. There's one other thing you didn't put into that great equation. You know, what? A man might cheat if he was with you because, well, look at yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you're just with an old hag? What if you're with, like, someone who looks like she could have been Sally Jelly Raphael's conjoined twin?
You know, as much as I would love to stand up here and enthusiastically endorse the comments of Dr. Laura,
I do.
I will tell you that I think that perhaps she might be making it a little more complicated than it needs to be.
I think she's making it a little simpler.
How would you break it down?
I would break it down much more simply to the old cow joke.
Okay.
You know, the old cow, I mean the old bull and the young bull at the top of the hill. Let's run down and ant that cow, and then the old man says, let's walk down and ant 'em all. And you know, kind of the Kurt Russell philosophy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the male thing. Spread the seed.
It's the way we're programmed genetically.
It's a biological thing. Here's the thing. I don't think guys think about sex in the same way that women do. I
Absolutely.
Really don't think so.
Of course.
I think guys kind of go, you know, there it is. And if there was a law that said, you know, guys can whenever they want, whenever they feel the urge, it would be Quest for Fire.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be Quest for Fire.
I support that law.
I think the fact that we don't have that is because
we have civility.
We control ourselves. It's just like we don't go out and we don't shoot somebody who gets us mad. We have controls. But really, as animals, I think that guys tend to look at their needs as that way. I mean, I don't want to go so far as to say it's just a body part. It is a body part.
I'll just say she's right. Okay, she's right, and there you go. But unfortunately, there's, you know, I've still not met a woman that lives up to that exact level that Dr. Laura's throwing there.
Right? I think she is perhaps holding women to too high a standard.
I think that any woman that would lower herself to those standards probably would be a pig.
I think that really, though, there are, I've known friends of mine that have marriages, have girlfriends, where the woman, we've had people on this show where the women are very open-minded and they're very, you know, we'll do anything. What's the old saying? You know, the girl next door and the whore in the bedroom. You know that one that we've heard before.
Act like a whore but look like the girl next door.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, it's like, be dirty birdie. Don't all men kind of want that behind closed doors?
Of course.
We want a dirty birdie?
Absolutely. Some of us want it with the door open. When we talk about dirty birdie, though, it's not about Aren't we talking about women obeying their men, though? Isn't that what she's really saying? Like,
well, she's talking about
make everything for the man.
I think she is expanding it a lot, where I'm taking a look at simply the sexual aspect of it. I think Dr. Laura is almost going back to that paper we used to read from the 1950s, where prepare the man's castle, make sure the kids are quiet when
he gets
home. We love that. Yeah, we love reading that. That's not wrong either, but... you know, I felt bad that they had to wheel out the governor of New Jersey's ex-wife and have her relive. But, hey, she went by choice, and she was the other woman scorned.
There she is.
What is he, a faggot?
There she is talking about her husband.
And she was, I mean, she lived on the Today Show today. She was there all day.
Wow.
You know, talking about it with Matt Lauer.
I noticed Elliot Ephraim Spitzer's wife looking at his script as he was reading it on the podium. Mm-hmm. You know, as he was reading the words, she was reading along.
Right.
And when he got to the part about, you know, hurting my family, she looked at him and it was the eyes, the daggers.
Glare.
Ouch. Mm-hmm.
You know, I pointed out to you that she looks like a much older Jennifer Aniston, in the face at least.
I have to issue an apology and a retraction. I said yesterday that Mrs. Spitzer was boxed. Obviously, the picture I saw was not of this decade.
I bet she was stunning in her day. She looks good right now. She looks like you could,
she looks all right.
Take the years off of her and she'd be a knockout.
Right.
Little Kelly.
Hey, excuse me, though. He's a member of the Alien Club.
Here's another one of the things that is hard being a man. When I heard this being discussed on TV last night on one of the news channels, MSNBC, whatever it is, seriously, someone saying, well, look at him. I mean, he's loaded with testosterone.
Oh, they said that on the Today Show.
Simply look at him. Look at the man.
Oh, like he's a big virile guy because he's getting a hooker?
Like what? We're going to give the guy a pass on this. What? Because he's got to shave twice a day?
Right.
Some swishy guy on the Dr. Laura panel, I think it was him, said, look, he has high cheekbones and a low brow, both signs of good testosterone levels. He's going to be very virile, and he's going to want a lot of sex.
Wow.
You know, walk into any public place and see a nice piece of ass walk through a room, what are 99.9% of the guys going to do? They're going to stop what they're doing, and they're going to turn their heads, and they're going to stare.
And here's the
thing. It's not the same with women.
Right. It's okay for us to stare, but we don't need one big douchebag like Elliot Sphincter getting nailed for writing checks and for going to high-class call girls.
Right. But this guy is such an – first of all, he's you know, you mentioned why he does this. I think it's the arrogance of power. Oh, yeah. I think he is so powerful. And you know, the governor, I was reading an article about our buddy, old Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hi.
On how he,
hi.
You know,
hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hi.
These guys are like the thing is the king of the world. And they're the king of the world. Mm-hmm. And he's prosecuted so many different people. This guy thinks he's bulletproof. And it's not true. And they get arrogant and they screw up.
You're effing it up for all of us. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Because he's so publicly a saint, and then he does this crap. Because
I have this discussion with my girlfriend today, you know, saying, isn't this really unfair that men are being treated this way? You know, and it always ends up turning around. Why are you so strong on this issue? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not strong on this issue. I just think that men are getting a rotten deal. Why are you so interested in this?
Women are going to do that.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you why, Janet. Here's why. Because I go to the Mayflower once a month and lay down $5,000 for a high class hooker. Or as they call them, I like the shiny name, call girl.
Mm-hmm. Call girl.
Yeah. If you're gonna shine up that turd, make her a high price call girl.
But here's the thing that's also funny about
this. You put pressure on all of us, Elliot Sphincter. You really do.
Elliot Sphincter, but he's going to get his just deserves here because he is he has been the guy that has prosecuted and put in jail a lot of other people. But the funny thing is about this is a guy that could have actually – oh, there's my phone. Sorry about that. I apologize.
Is that one of your high-class hookers calling?
No.
This could be about the mattress. In related news.
Hello? Hey, I'm on the air right now. Is the person there?
This is about as bad.
Yeah.
She was here, and it's fixed? Okay, love you. I got to run. I'll pass that along. Okay, bye.
You know what that sounded like to me?
That's why I left it on ringy dingy. Been there, gone, and the bed is fixed.
Yeah, there you go.
The bed is fixed.
Yeah, there you go,
King. I passed that along. I'm very, very happy about that. And tonight we're going to actually get somebody from what's the name of the company?
Select Comfort.
Select
Comfort.
No, the call girl company.
Emperor VIP.
Carla was so excited about that Emperor VIP will be sending a third woman to come into our bed tonight. And I couldn't be more excited about that.
And they were able to hang the mirror over the bed?
Yeah, the mirror is over the bed as well.
Over the bed.
That's terrific.
Anyway, just listen, we're all not and this is where I got in trouble with my girlfriend today. Because I said, you know, this guy gives all men a bad name. I said, you know, and really you can't win with his argument. I said,
no.
Trust me, there's lots of guys out there cheating, and they're not seeing prostitutes. They're seeing women.
Mm-hmm. This guy went mental for stink. This guy went nuts. This guy, I mean, he doesn't even just call a girl in the town that he's in. He has didn't he have the woman come down by train, buy her, was it train tickets?
Yes, and then he left her, the door was open, but there was a key inside. Uh-huh.
This guy isn't thinking about, like, doing what he's doing for government. This guy is planning his whole trip around Poon.
You're looking at a guy who was an attorney general.
Right.
And he turned it into a federal crime by transporting her across state lines.
This is the same guy that could have gotten on a plane and flown out to Las Vegas, Nevada, or, you know, wherever it is legal in Nevada, and gone to the Bunny Ranch, and it would have been perfectly okay.
He could have gone to the Bronx. He could have gone to one of those Ernie places.
He could have done anything, but he did this. He knew they're saying he probably knew the law.
And
because the whole reason they're going to bite this guy in the ass right now is because he transported this woman. Well, he didn't. Well, nobody paid for the ticket.
It just makes it hard to be a man today. That's true.
Because we're all under greater scrutiny.
Right.
Yes. Because of, and I love your name for him, Elliot Spector.
And if he was in D.C., he could have just gone up to New York Avenue.
The only thing,
it's no big deal.
Right.
The only thing that he did not do at this point, and I commend him for this, is go immediately into rehab.
Right.
Yeah.
He will.
But one of the guy, it was either Letterman or Conan O'Brien, talking about he's huddling with his staff right now to develop a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what everybody will do. How long before he comes out with the press conference saying, I have a disease?
All right, well, there you go. We've solved a lot of the problems.
I think so.
Now we can focus on the biggest problem of all. Billy Crystal, oy vey.
This pisses me off.
Billy Gold. Billy Gold. Yes, Billy Gold. Rob.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
That's
dear,
right.
Dear.
700 Robes by Billy Gold.
Billy Gold is going to sit in with the Yankees.
We got
to
talk about him when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.